Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hamid, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance.
Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum. This is your co-host Henry Hasib, and welcome to another edition of Solution to Critical Issues, where we discuss the issues of today that affects our daily life here. We have an interesting topic today, and we entitled it with a question: how far politically expedience goes? And we have seen some of that in the this latest episode of Law Enforcement Public. We have with us our host, Dr. Jamal Rashid. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Jamal Rashid.
Well, thank you, Assalam, Brother Henry. I had to push one. I wasn't in the queue.
Okay.
Right, can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. I'm using a new accessory, so it's not operating exactly the way it should. So I'm gonna be fumbling around with it. But yeah, This issue that unfortunately keeps resurfacing far too often in our country. Law enforcement murdering our people and getting away with it, it is too outlandish to even try to going over and over in the same results. You know, but what's so different about this latest episode, I'm calling it an episode, is that all the law enforcers were black, except for Nanny and a few white accessories. And so it's quite interesting. A lot of times you have to look at what is the motive. What are the underlying motives behind a arrest? What are the objectives for an indictment? And when you look at all the different levels where a person has to go through in order for a conviction to take place, there are many people that's involved in the decision-making process that we call a discretion has to be utilized, a discretion to be implemented, a choice. In other words, has to be enforced as far as the political, when I say political process, take effect. A lot of decisions are made on discretion of why some people are incarcerated and why some people are not. And so that's when it becomes political as far as discretion has to be used. Choices have to be made as far as sleeping under the rug or bringing every justification you possibly can to bring about an incarceration or some type of penalty to be enforced. I want the audience to know this morning that my tooth, I'm switching subjects now, my tooth is really bothering me. So, you know, when you're in pain, and then worse, I guess, other than what women say is a pregnancy, that we don't experience as males, than a toothache. So every now and then I'm reminded that my mouth is really on fire, in essence. It's the least I can say to remind me that I'm in a lot of discomfort as far as pain. And so I'm reminded of this discomfort of what's really bothering me this morning, pain of my mouth called toothache. So getting back to the subject, you know, we've had a bad history, when I say we, meaning the African-American community, have had a bad history of black-on-black crime or black on black civil war, if you will, against each other under whatever title we try to call it. Blacks against blacks. Like I just said, black on black civil war. Unnecessary. And so you have to look at the motives of why we are so involved in hurting each other. That we really sometimes don't give a second thought to hurt one another. It don't take a lot to get involved in what I call it, black on black civil war or black on black crime. In this day and time, it's still well and alive. I say well and alive. Well in the sense that it would take some of us too much to make a decision on whether to get involved in the Negro Civil War. Negro Civil War. Some of us are bought off just like that. Easy. Easy. A decision that don't take a lot. It should be made. If you volunteer to hurt each other. And so it seemed like these hoodlums, called police hoodlums, describing them as hoodlums, enjoy this mob action of beating up on this one brother. Like they had a thrilling time, a joyful time of gangbanging against one brother. And so we have to ask ourselves, why are we so easily, and I don't want to use the word persuaded, but why is it so easy for some of us to participate in the Negro Civil War? Well, we have with so much hatred towards one another that it don't take too much persuasion for us to volunteer and to hurt one another based on nigger. Niggerism. I hate you, nigger. The nigger mentality. From an in-house slave mentality has occurred to make us hate each other so much that it don't take no persuasion for us to volunteer to hypothetically kill each other. You don't need too much volunteerism for people to join the ranks and to hurt one another. I hate that nigga way yet. The man niggas number, I'm kidding. So, you know, let's just use a lot of, not a lot, to come out to some conclusions on why we have so much hatred towards one another. That's something to talk about. Yes, go ahead, Brother Henry.
You know, Dr. Rashid, when I looked at that situation, and especially looked like you said, how swift looked like the gesture was, how expedient it was, you wondered whether America is getting better, whether it was just because these five officers initially was African-American. But a couple things that I look at, that it was in Memphis, Tennessee, and in Memphis, Tennessee, you know, that's the city in which Dr. King was assassinated in. And I was wondering the significance of that. That was just a thought that ran across my mind there. And then I said, well, maybe this is the way America, maybe it's improving. But then later it comes out that here there was a Caucasian officer that was there that wasn't even mentioned. And if it wasn't for the video, I don't think we would have knew about it today. So I question whether or not it's because of a real justice, or is it because of the color of these officers' skin? And now I'm hearing there, and I don't know how true for that. I don't like the gospel, but it does have a ring of truth to it, that they were really not stopping him about a traffic ticket. From what I hear now is that the gentleman that they stopped was going with an ex-wife of one of the police officers on the force, and they was Tim Alessin. Of course, they used a traffic violation to tell the public, but I think it's a lot more. And if you look at that, because people ask, why, you know, for a traffic ticket that a person would have to suffer this type of brutality? And we know in the past, in our past history, that was true. That was something that did happen. But a lot of people would like to believe that in 2023 that would not go on. But we see it's still going on today, and it still seems to be, if it's a black lie, then it doesn't matter. So I just wanted to add that to this conversation. As-salamu alaykum. Dr. Rashid? Mm-hmm. As-salamu alaykum, Dr. Rashid?
Okay.
He may...
hold on.
Okay. Yeah, you was on mute.
Am I heard now?
Yeah, you're on now.
Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this new system I'm working with is not operating. It was good. The sound was good when you were speaking, but it's not operating right. Just make a long story short.
This technology will do us like that. They had
they
still got a lot of room for improvement.
Right. And so do I. I got to learn how to do this thing right. Okay. So, you know, there's a lot to this that needs to be done and to come up with positive solutions as far as why we so easily persuaded to hurt one another. You know, to get away from the distraction of white on white, or white against black and black against black, you know, but why these internal wars exist in the first place? You know, who set these preliminaries on prerequisites and to be what they are? You know, for everything that occurs, there are prerequisites of why or what motivated these self-hatred occurrences to occur. You know, where are the motives located? The original motives located in order to cause what we call black on black or black on white. You know, try to get away from these type of terms, but nevertheless they exist, which is unhealthy when we all are human beings, but yet we have to be divided into these preliminary
three occupations, if you will, that distract us from the real enemies that we are trying to overcome. So we have a lot of work to do, really, to get to home base, to get back to originality of what starts these encounterings in the first place, what sets it off, before we really get down to problem solving. We have to undo a lot of getting rid of distraction or things that are designed to hurt us indirectly. Mm-hmm. You know, and so a lot of things have to be done to get rid of what we call fake distractors,
mm-hmm,
or false impressions, you know, of where the real enemies are in these things called civil wars of hatred, period. Why we dislike each other as humans, why there's no empathy, more empathy. It's not used, but apathy is more a intoxicant than empathy and compassion and forgiveness. You know, are not used. You know, there's a thin line between apathy and empathy. Just the sound of the words is not a lot different, but there's a tremendous difference in its application of what they mean and the results of what they do. Apathy and empathy. You know, they say words make people, but yet there's a thin line. Very thin line between love and hate. Very thin line. So, you know, in the public, you got questions. You know, we'd like to get involved in this big topic.
Yep.
You know, we'd like to hear your comments.
Yes, we do have one caller in queue, and we do see you. We're going to take a brief PSA here, and then we'll be right back to continue this most important subject, and we'll bring our call in on the other side. We'll be right back.
The peace be on you. Assalamu alaikum. My name is Omar Shakir, and I'm resident imam of Masjid Bilal Ibn Rabah in San Antonio, Texas. And I would like to invite you every first Sunday from 12 to 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time to join us for our class where we're dealing with the subject matter of the basics in Islam. We are excited about this program, even if we're new Muslims or Muslims have been in the faith for many, many years. It is a wonderful opportunity to learn and understand this beautiful way of life. We also connected with various insights from the Tafsir of Imam Waliduddin Muhammad radiallahu anhu, and we all explain its practical application. We look forward to being with you on every first Sunday of the month where we would deal with the basics of Islam. The peace be on you. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Kareem Hamid, radio station manager for American Muslim 360 Radio, inviting all hosts to the upcoming host meeting scheduled this Saturday from 12 to 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Join us each and every Sunday from 5 to 7 Eastern Standard Time and 4 to 6 Central Standard Time for the broadcast of the contemplations of Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad, sharing his insights, his wisdom, and his knowledge here on America Muslim 360, utilize the books edited by Brother Morocco, Brother Ghani, and Brother Ronald B. Shaheed. So we look forward to your presence as we share the insight, the logic, and the thinking of our beloved Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad here on America Muslim 360 on a myriad of subject matter. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. We are back with Critical Issues, where we're talking today about how far will political expedient justice go? And, you know, we have been witnessing that over the last week or so. So right now, Dr. Rashid, we're going to bring our caller in that's been waiting patiently. Assalamu alaikum, area code 727-408. Welcome to the program. State your name and where you're calling from.
Wa alaikum assalam. This is Bilal from New Orleans, Louisiana. Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. Wa alaikum assalam. Excuse me, my voice is kind of hoarse-like. But, you know, a sister was on the program, and she mentioned about, on the roundtable, mentioned about generational X. And so she said these generations, she didn't really know where they came, how they got named, but they got named, right? So I said, well, look, I'm a researcher, so by the show. So what I went into how are these generations named, right? And so now this is something I want us to look at, right? They had this Caucasian, right? He wrote a book, and he called it X. And then during that same period of time, the movie came out about Malcolm X. So what occurs, though, is that if the something can be put out there in the environment and the media pick it up, okay, and then the people begin to, Generation Z. And they begin to make this part of the language of the society. And these are the different names. You know, I went through the X, Y, Z and all of them, you know, and I found out why they were named what they were named. They even said one generation, I think the generation of now, they're not looking at worldly knowledge coming in, studying, reading, nothing like that. That they world is on technology, and so they give them a name. You know, so what's going on? Mass shooting. I'm looking at it now. Mass shooting. That's popular now. So they you're gonna be hearing so much about it. Why? Because it's popular. The media pumping it up, and so this is a problem.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's
That's
a little take I got on that. But, you know, alhamdulillah, a lot of
great observation.
All right.
Great observation because, you know, people have stated how the society has changed from actual human and social interactions that now your friend is a gesture of what they call it, emo, or whatever that stuff is, where people's vocabulary has even stopped. You know,
right.
People complain about a regular sentence. You text too long. You text too much. And so they don't, you know, we've become a society of really signs and symbols. If it just bring it short, you know, we don't even know how to talk anymore. I'm talking about verbally talk. No real social communication. Where did you meet this person? On the internet. You know, where did you meet your spouse? On Facebook. What kind of, is where the world is. So,
Imam Muhammad said that you are becoming a robot.
Somebody, yeah, how can you get to know somebody by a sign? He just put up a fist, and it shows empowerment, or it it symbolizes as it refers to power. That's what I want, a man of power. So he puts up a fist, and that's mostly what you know. Or that's what attracted you was a fist. A balled up fist that can be changed from any color in a second. You know, so
right.
It's amazing. And how this world has transferred, if you will, overnight from human interactions to machinery. You know,
right.
You might as well go to bed with a machine. You know?
Yeah.
You can't die with a machine. So it's awful at where we have gone. You know, technology has its positives. We're not knocking technology, but you have to look at the dualities. The benefits, but it's also detrimental. We can never ignore the dualistic ramifications of every creation. We have to separate the good from the bad. That's important to understand and not be overcome by the negativities of a creation. So thank you, Brother Lyle, for that insight to go into your analytical mindset and to do some thinking and research a little bit deeper than the person that's just gullible to take stuff in without a thought or give it adequate attention to is ramifications of what is being introduced to our gullible mind, to our vulnerabilities. Thank you so much.
You know, when we talk about these generations, we see now, Dr. Rashid, that common sense seems to be missing out of the equation. When people, when they do things, they don't use common sense. They don't think before they act. They don't look at the consequences. You know, people would weigh the consequence of something. And, you know, those animals that they say that don't, that react rather than thinking because they don't have the ability to think, they only respond to a spontaneous stimulus, you know. If you step on a dog's feet, the first thing he do is try to bite you, even if you hit on. But human beings to think before they react. But we find out today that when we're looking at the human society, that process is missing of thinking. And I'm thinking that a lot of this, because even with the situation we're talking about, with the latest episode of police officers who are supposed to stand for justice and for rights, and matter of fact, they coming up, they called them peacekeepers. They was ones who were supposed to keep the peace. Nowadays, they are doing things just as worse as a gang, or worse than a gang, because they are beginning to form their little gangs inside of what a force that was supposed to be just their gangs that to go after and beat people and kill people. And most of the time they get away with it because they put the bank on first. Now just to think, if this person probably would have lived from those bruises and things that put on him, we probably would be talking about it today, because news coverage wouldn't have covered it, first of all. And they would have blamed for the beating that they gave him. He was disordered. He resisted an arrest. He did this. He did this. Ran away. He did this. He did this. He was ordered to stop, and he did not stop. And we would have been on the side of law enforcement and believing what over the person who took the beating that had nothing to do with what their And now we're finding out that it wasn't a traffic stop, because I was trying to figure, why would a unit, a whole unit called Scorpion, why would a whole unit, when they have police officers, that's what they do. They call traffic police officers. That's what they do. They monitor the traffic. But here's a whole unit of people that for other type of crime is now stopping someone for a traffic stop. And most of the officers that I have known in the past, a lot of times when they may see a minor traffic violation, because they ain't in that unit, they don't want to waste their time doing that. So because that ain't what their main focus is. But here's a whole unit. I think they call them the Scorpions unit there. Here's a whole unit crying, want to stop a person, as they say, for a traffic violation. You know, it's a lot of suspect to that. So the truth, we pray that will come out and show what the real motive of these officers was. They even said, showed there where even the cops that wasn't chasing the individual there, they were saying, well, I hope they put a good beating on him. Well, why would you do this on a person who you say did a minor traffic violation? So it's a lot more to this than is being, let on to the public. But they're trying to get the appearance that justice is being done to these five officers. And now I understand that they have terminated a few more because, like you say, the political expedience of it, and not because the right and the wrong or the justice of it. So I just wanted to add that to it. And we invite our callers, if you do have a question or comment, do press 1 on your phone and we'll bring you into the queue. We'd like to hear from you on this. And Dr. Rashid, we'll stop right here and take another pause for the calls. And we'll be right back after this brief break.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa Hamid, CEO for American Muslim 360. Join us for the American Muslim 360 virtual Muslim business advertisement booklet that will come out every 6 months. The first ad booklet will be coming out on Friday, May the 6th, 2022. The last day to put an advertisement in the booklet is March the 31st. You have a full page, half a page, and a business page. Send payments to CWSC on PayPal.com. If you don't have a PayPal account, you can use your credit card. In the note, put AM360 ad booklet, your name, your email, the size of your ad. The full page is $100 for 6 months. The half page is $50 for 6 months. And the business card is $25 for 6 months. For a year, the full page is $200. Half page is $100. The business card is $50. So you state whether you want 6 or 12 months. Once you have paid the fee, you email your ad to info@cwsc.us and make sure the name and the email is the same on the PayPal.com you sent to ensure the correct ad page. Thank you so much. Inshallah, we look forward to serving you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Assalamu alaikum, and we are back there. I see we do have a new way of advertising your business there through the PayPal. And I encourage all of you who got a business, get on there because we need to know about you. And we also need to support our supporters and advertisers on this station here. All right, Dr. Rashid, I think we have our brother Bilal again, and we'll bring him back in and see what comments he has. As-salamu alaykum, Brother Bilal.
Wa alaykum as-salam. Let me see, can I put this together? The Imam say it is in the nature of man to not trust others if he think himself superior to them. And because that disposition is taken dictatorship form. Now here's the point. Shaitan thinks that he's working for Allah. He will do anything until he is stopped. So he says, this is not going to work. He feels that man shouldn't even be put in a position to keep God first, saying he is better than them, a very serious problem. Telling God that I'm going to prove to you that man shouldn't govern this land. Now, this is something I read about last year sometime. I don't know, maybe this year. I didn't know that Shaitan felt that he was better to serve Allah than man. And I heard that, say, what? But that's what, you know, is in his book called Father Lee, that he may say, no, Shaitan thinks that he can serve God better than man can. That's Shaitan's position when he say, I'm better than him. And this is servitude. This was man's service. This ain't nothing to disrespect man. Shaitan feel that way. That mentality feel that he's better than man, and he's out to prove it. But as we know, his mind is warped, and he really don't know what he's talking about. But anyway, that's his position. The phrase be to Allah. That's what I'm going to let you
hear. I still don't like you.
Mm-hmm.
No. All right. We do invite our callers. If you do have a question or comment, do press 1 on your phone, and we will bring you into the queue here on this important subject of political expedience. How far will political expedient justice go? And, well, you know, we've talked a number of times about expedient and how the society a lot of times do things for expedience and not for the real justice that should be brought about. You know, in this country, everybody should get a fair trial before a decision is made, because we know a lot of time all of the facts are not given. But as Dr. Rashid was stating earlier, that when it comes to a black-on-black type crime, it seems that we can make a decision almost instantly if it's for our benefit or the benefit of the person who's in charge of making that decision. Because, Dr. Rashid, I have never seen this type of justice be brought about so swiftly. Normally, they would hide the video, and sometimes they even had to get a court order in order to have it revealed to the public. But this time, I mean, none of that. You would think, oh, is the society changing? Are they finally trying to look out for the justice? I think we have to also weigh that to see if this is just because of who it is in there. Because even in this, they did hide the fact it didn't bring out until others started bringing it up. So I think we have to weigh our opinions on this and see why, look into rather than react to what is going on.
Right. You know, you have to ask yourself again, would it have gone this quickly if the officers had been white? You know, and so it became a shock. But, you know, what's good, if you want to bring about what's good about something that is happening, is before they always had one person to target, such as a Martin Luther King. If they get rid of the head, then the rest of the body would fall apart swiftly, very quickly. because they targeted a leader. But what's so different about today's, when we talk about is a term Generation X. What's the difference between the youth of today is there's no defined one person. You can't pinpoint or target one person. So they can't, they don't know who to go after because the masses are involved in the leadership. There are protesters everywhere, you know, in every continent. On every continent, there are people who are protesting in various degrees. So that's the good. When I spoke of the good thing from this is that nowadays you can't target or can't assassinate one because there are billions of people out here. So the mentality,
I was going to say, and communication has improved. What they could get away with that sometimes would take years to come up with the evidence, now it's almost instantly because of the video cameras, and even in cities like that, and they have cameras on the pole. So and people, they don't even think about that because you know, it's common now. But that a lot of times is what get folks in trouble, even when they think they have hidden their track. There, so a communication has improved, you know, through videos and stuff like this, and how we come about getting our information, and they don't have that much time to cover up the truth, like they used to say. Let's see, we want to hold it because we don't want to cause the public to react in the way that we know they will react if this is released. And Dr. Rashid, we do have a call back. I think it's our brother Bilal, and I want to bring him back to see if he's got another comment.
Well, praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah. You know, here in New Orleans, back I think about in 72 or something like that, they had what you call the Go Get 'Em Squad. There was people that they had trained and put them in a position of going on and you know, dealing with the drug problem here. And then I heard maybe about a year ago how they had a group here like that here in New Orleans, and they were dismantling it. Now check this out. Be talking about a blood and crip mentality. That would pop in my head, you know. So they might probably, it might just be they have a gang mentality because they have to be close to each other. So they might have looked at that brother as, oh man, he's on arbitrary. And they just go on and just did it like that. I'm just looking into a few things, and you know, that pop up and see where they have any kind of relevance there. But like I say, it could be blood and grip mentality. And that's the way they operate.
I think on that, Bilal, it's got a lot of relevancy on there because we seeing now that it's more to it than just a traffic stop. It wasn't an innocent traffic stop because that's what they had the public questioning. How could a person that's being stopped for a traffic stop have to go through all of this? But that was what they gave the public, but now it's coming out that was more to it. It didn't matter. He could have been the perfect driver. They were going to stop him and do what they did to him anyway because of who he is and what they thought he had did. And it didn't have anything to do with breaking the law. So,
you know, something his mother said,
we were targeted. Mm-hmm.
Right. His mother said that, what caught my interest, she said that only thing she could see is that he was the rise of a black messiah. And I ain't heard that language in a long time. Before we in the nationalist movement. Yeah, but that was something she said. I said, okay. So,
well, it shows you.
Wait.
Yes, because what they're showing you of his life, he wasn't a gang banger. You know, he could be any of our sons there,
right,
that we'd like for our sons to be. The things that that he was portraying, and it just tells us that any of our children can leave home one day and never return of no fault of their own. Who they
right.
Meet, who they're talking with. And people just taking justice, as we say, this political expedient type of justice into their own hands. They're being the judge, the jury, and the prosecutor. And I would come to say that they had that plan, and probably for weeks. They probably didn't just come up with it that night. They had that plan for weeks that they were going to get this guy for what and punish him for what they thought was his crime, going with one of their fellow officers' ex-wives. So that type of justice can't be allowed to exist or not go unpunished in this society we live in if we're going to have a civilized society.
So, you know, that goes to mind a different type of mentality that still exists that some people can't stomach seeing interracial relationships. You know, I don't know if people been paying attention, but there were two co-hosts of a popular national TV show on ABC that started dating. And there was nothing in the protocol that prohibited such dating. There was no violation that they were committing. But nevertheless, these people have gotten fired. That's the latest reaction from this interracial couple dating on national network, ABC. And so they gave them time off, but it was giving the institution of racism time to figure out what to do with this blackie dating my white girl. And that's not going to be happening, Tom. We're not going to have it.
Well,
we're not going to tolerate it.
And Dr. Rashid, what that brought to mind, you know, at the same time this video was coming out on this, they released the video after so many weeks again on Nancy Pelosi's husband. And do you see how the officers approach that situation? And here's a situation that a man's life is being threatened, and did. A matter of fact, they watched the guy take the hammer out of her husband's hand, who's an elderly gentleman, and hit him in the head before they stopped anything. And do you see, if you watch the video, how nice they was to him? They didn't try to taser him. They didn't shoot him. They didn't do anything. And then even when when he attacked the other guy and hit him in the head, causing a head concussion, the way they handled him, he did not get any extra beatings or anything. They only did just enough force to retain him. But the same thing, when we look at this one to the brother, we see how they do it. It is different in night and day. And here one was supposed to be a traffic stop, they claim, and the other one was threatening a man's life. Just go back and review that video on Nancy Pelosi's husband. And even though he's a Caucasian, by another Caucasian, the treatment is totally different for the suspected criminal that they suspect. They treated him with more kindness, and even after they arrested him, They didn't pepper spray him. They didn't do any of this stuff. And this man is attempting to kill another human being. So that shows us what kind of justice we're getting in this country. And it's got to be improved. As one of the earlier PSAs said, we have to remake the world. And I think that's what our job is as Muslims and as decent human beings in a society, is to work together to bring about a better society that's very much needed.
Exactly. The double standards is tremendously in full sight, as far as the double standards that are occurring right in front of our eyes. And so in the last few minutes, if you have a comment, don't wait till the very last second to tune in. We have less than 5 minutes if you have a comment or question on this noteworthy headliner that, you know, they're deeper hidden meaning to what's occurring.
We do have our brother Bilal back again, so we don't have any other calls, so we bring him back in the queue. As-salamu alaykum, brother Bilal.
Wa alaykum as-salam. You know something, brother? Those people, I would readily accept the fact that they were Republicans, and that was the Trump issue against Pelosi, period. That sounds political to me. I put that in the ring. And see how that settled in our minds about that. Still, again, a lot of those best, though.
Well, it shows a lot of how people are gullible to influences regardless of their political affiliations. There are a lot of ignorant people out here.
Yes.
You know, when we put the labels aside, we see that people are gullible to being influenced.
Right, right.
And they do bodily harm when they are influenced by people who are intentionally dropping seeds, or we say persuaders of information,
right.
You know, hidden persuaders. You know, there was a book titled Hidden Persuaders. So many times you have con artists that know exactly what they're doing, influencing ignorant people to carry out what they are too weak to do for themselves.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we saw that a whole lot during the last president campaign, under that presidency of what was done. Our presidential candidate was saying, hey, beat the so-and-so out of them and I'll pay for your court, even though that was a lie. They didn't pay for the court costs, but this one was being told to the public. Beat the so-and-so.
Right.
And this was sold from one who was seeking the highest office in this country. So what else can we expect? We have another caller in the queue. We're going to bring them in these last few minutes. Thank you, Bilal. We have area code 443-857. Welcome to the program. State your name, where you're calling from.
Calling from Baltimore, Maryland.
Assalamualaikum.
Waalaikum salam, rahmatullah. I'm a latecomer, and I just wanted to get in on whatever information you have left, so I'll continue to listen.
Thank you for listening, and we thank you for tuning in. We have a program coming on immediately afterwards called Money Sense by Imam
Adam Bia, and
then we have a program immediately after that by Imam Yusuf Ramadan. So.
Yeah,
and we have programs in the afternoon.
Yes, sir. I know Brother Ambiya, and I was calling to get in his queue and wait for him, basically, my brother. Thank you.
All right. Alhamdulillah. Okay.
Thank you.
We got about a minute left. Dr. Rashid, here, if you got any closing comments.
Mm-hmm. Well, we just going to have to continuously be studious observers, but also
proactive. We cannot be just reacting to what somebody has set up. But we have to be more proactive to what is occurring and get ahead of the scenarios that are being implemented today. Thank you for listening. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. And I would say my advice is look into rather than just react to. Don't react to the first thing you see because it's given to us to cause that type of reaction. So look into it and you'll see it's more to the story than what is originally being given. We'll see you next week at the same time, same place here for another issue of critical issues of things that affect our daily life. And your next voice that you will be hearing is from our brother Adam Biaz. And his subject today is the AP African American Study Curriculum. Who agenda is it? So stay tuned for that, and we'll see you next week. Assalamu alaikum.
God's peace be upon you. This is Muhammad Sharif. As we know, everything begins with the seed. Rain of the Nation is world leader in seed nutrition and the first to market seed-based products. Our flagship product is called Soul, S-O-U-L. The main ingredient is the black cumin seed. Here are a few reasons to drink Soul. Supports a healthy immune system. Give a body the boost to stay healthy and strong. Improve indigestion. Decrease infection. Remove inflammation and other benefits. This is an opportunity to improve your health and increase your wealth. Please call or text me at 914-434-375. Please join me in supporting CWSC, the Community-Wide Cereal Conference and AM360, in remaking the world into a better place. We support the 50-year human family planning and look forward to doing business with you. Our website is raininternational.com. We are available at any time. Please call this number, 914-434-3275. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum, rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Imam Adam B. out here on Money Sense on this Thursday morning, February the 2nd. I want to welcome all of you to our program today and those that are remaining from listening to our previous program with Dr. Jamal Rashid and Brother Henry Hasib. Today, inshallah, we're going to talk about the uproar over this AP African American Studies curriculum that's causing this uproar down in Florida and probably other parts of the country too, but Florida's been the main focus of it. And to open the program, we're going to recite from the Quran, inshallah. And let me go to Surah Al-Hujurat, which is the 49th surah of the Quran, the 6th ayah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu in ja'akum fasikum binabiyin fatabayyanu an tusibu qauman baja'alatin fatusbihu ala ma fa'alatum nadimin. Sadaqallahu azim. In the translation as given by Bill Yusuf Ali, with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. O you who believe, If a wicked person comes to you with any news, ascertain the truth, lest you harm people unwittingly, and afterwards become full of repentance for what you have done. Sadaqa Allahu Azeem, Allah speaks the truth, and surely Allah's words are true. Alhamdulillah. As I was saying, we're going to talk about this AP African American Studies curriculum. AP means advanced placement, and it's where in public schools, high school, they teach college curriculum, college style curriculum. And that's why it's called AP, you know, back, I guess with the college, high school students, if they're taking AP courses, they're on advanced, like an advanced placement. And it's supposed to prepare them for the rigors of college. These are college-bound students. So they have, in that curriculum, they have African-American studies. Which is kind of novel, because I know in districts around the country are moving away from African American studies, right? I can remember when I first moved to Fayetteville, I was invited to speak at high schools. Of course, this is during African American History Month, and they kind of would invite people to come in and address certain things. And then I didn't give them any invitations. And I was told that we're not doing these special things for African American History Month. They tried to rename it as Brotherhood Month or Brotherhood Week, where they're recognizing people of all types of people of background, all kind of backgrounds. And then if you want to know where your particular school system, where you live, is doing, just talk to some of the students. And if you talk to African Americans, you find out there's a lot of things that we took for granted growing up that they know nothing about. They're not being taught African American history. And if they do, invariably they don't get past Dr. King and I Got a Dream. When little black babies and white babies are together, remember his speech on the March on Washington? They don't get past that. You know, very little. So anyway, on this particular course, curriculum, they developed a curriculum to, and was approved by the College Board in Florida. And then it was yanked off the shelf because there were many, they say conservative parents that didn't want some of the things in the curriculum taught to their children. So when I first heard about it, naturally I heard about it through the liberal media, and they're making, hey, they're saying DeSantis is doing the wrong thing. They're trying to block black history, African-American history. They don't want to do that. But I had never taken the time to actually read about the curriculum or read about the African-American studies, AP African-American studies class. I had not taken the time. So I was on social media, and I was looking at a post. This guy, I can't remember his name. I see him all the time. But I reviewed his post. And he had mentioned some of the things, even though it wasn't all pervasive, some of the curriculum that was in, I mean, some of the courses or some of the concepts that was in the advanced placement courses. And I said to myself, would I want my children taught this? You understand? And I said, no. Do I want my children exposed to this and not knowing who the one that's exposing it to them, what agenda they have? And the answer was no, because I don't know them. The word agenda is not a bad term, but a lot of times when it's used, all right, what's your agenda? You know, it could be a good agenda. It doesn't have to be a bad agenda. It could be a good one. But there's nothing wrong with asking, what is your agenda? Ascertaining the agenda. All right? But it's not given a lot of times as a noun. A lot of times it's given more as a verb. Kind of agenda you got. And when it's asked like that, it has to be a hidden, agenda. Well, what is your agenda? All right. Now, there's nothing wrong with having an agenda. I assure you that if you talk with the principals of Clary Muhammad School, they have an agenda. I assure you, when you read the Quran, Allah has an agenda for you. And it's not a bad agenda. So when I read the initial AP studies curriculum that they had, and I saw some of the things that was in it, I came away with this, what does that have to do with African American history? Right? What does Black queer studies have to do with African American history? What does some of these things on feminism have to do with African American history? Look, and when we were being abused and everything in America, in this society, and we were fighting the abuse, it was time all hands on the deck. Everybody got to get involved in fighting this thing. All hands on deck. And true, there was a feminist movement in America, because in this society, the women were treated bad. It wasn't until the 1920s that the women could even vote in this country. So yeah, that was a bad feminist problem. But during the time when brothers were being lynched a whole lot in the society, to me that trumps. I shouldn't use that word. I hate it. Y'all forgive me for using that word. That should not take. I mean, that the women couldn't get a job or wasn't making as much money as the men. Well, be truthful, brothers and sisters. For the most part, that wasn't a problem with us. The women can always get a job that the brothers couldn't get in our situation. But, again, we're talking about these agendas. When I looked at the AP Studies curriculum, and I saw some of the things that they had in it under the guise of African-American history, I truly said, okay, what agenda do they have? Naturally, I came up with an idea. I don't know how strong it is, and y'all can tell me if I'm off base or not. But I said this. There's an attempt to couple the struggles that we have as a people and to couple that as though it's part and parcel with the struggles that the LGBT community is having in America. And we're supposed to be partners in arms in trying to fight this thing. My question, where were y'all when we were getting lynched? Where were y'all when we were on the plantation, working from sun up to sun down for free? Maybe it's because they see the gains that are being made amongst our people that maybe say they can piggyback on that and try to get some consideration too. Maybe that's it. I don't know. To me, us learning more about our history from a perspective that isn't dominated by the oppressor. Maybe we should have our own. Oh, we do have our own. Some of us. We do have our own. The Clay Muhammad school system. We do have our own. That's a good segue. Let's support our own. Because I would like to think that if we taught and are teaching African-American studies curriculum in our schools, there would not be a section on LGBT rights or black feminism. There would not be. So anyway, I just want to open up with that monologue, and I appreciate y'all, everyone, kind of working with me on that, trying to set the stage. I think it's a good place to start. And some of you, I might be shocked. You know, are you agreeing with Governor DeSantis? Well, I don't agree with everything he's doing, and I don't disagree with some of the things he's doing. Right? At all. But I also understand this game that's being played. And some of the things that are happening, we better check the agenda of those that are trying to align themselves with us, because we might not agree with them. And we need to let them know we don't agree with them. But that's not being done. All right, we're going to take this PSA. We'll play this PSA, and we'll be back after this brief message. I keep saying brief, but after this message. And we'll have some people that want to say something. We'll go to the phone lines at that time. All right. Money Sense will continue after this message.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Sister Khalida Akbar Abdulaziz, Program Manager for American Muslim 360. CWSC is inspired by the visionary leadership of the late Imam W.D. Muhammad, Rahim Allah Alay, and his proposition that our communities need a studious group of persons, or an intelligentsia, studying our history and circumstances and envisioning a brighter future for succeeding generations to live better in America. In 1999, an important step was taken to fulfill the shared vision of structuring an intelligentsia with a national think tank capable of serving first our communities and then eventually national and global interests. We welcome you to American Muslim 360 listenership. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
All right, we're back again. This is Adam B. out here on Money Sense on this Thursday morning. We're going to the phone lines right now. We do have a caller that is raised his hand. Actually, his hand was raised before I even started my program. So I hope it's something that you want to say in response to what we've been talking about. Let's go to 443-857-443-857.
As-salamu alaykum. Wa alaykum salam. Rock me to Allah. I am your brother, Salahuddin Majid, joining you again
yes, sir.
In this broadcast. Greetings. Brother Adam Biyah, I think you hit the nail on the head regarding the agenda for the coalition of the LGBTQ group aligning themselves with whatever they can align themselves with as far as their rights and other people's human rights. I have never agreed with that, and it's not Quranic approval. So I can't get down with any alignment with them on any issues, really, other than being a normal human being as the Quran has prescribed. From my own personal experience, Brother Adam, you know, you and I and a few other pioneers, we were stitched with a foundation that was more solid and more real with the tutelage of Imam Erwin Shakir, who was on your program last week, and Imam Warsi Muhammad, Elijah Muhammad, Donald Elijah Muhammad, and finally got to the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad. We thank Allah for all those leaders that were in front of us. And I don't think any of them would have aligned themselves with any type of coalition for the African America recognition that we never had until we got a month. And a month for all ethnic groups, I think, is in place already as a standard. And we have the short, I think we have the 28 days, which is the shortest month on the calendar. But I can tell you from personal experience, having taught in the Baltimore County Public Schools after retirement and experiencing a termination. I had a termination with a job in the public school system where I would not allow students to come in my classroom with their pants hanging down in their rear. And one day I was teaching IT. And I put them on the carpet upon their entrance, and I told them about the sagging process. Where did it come from? Why do you wear this? Do it make you think better, et cetera? And I told them that sagging came from the jailhouse. And as a standard rule, sagging is fagging. And I said that. And believe it or not, Brother Adam, in the audience, the next day, the principal called me to the office and said, "Mr. Majid, you cannot say what you said to the students." And I never read it in the teacher's manual that I could not speak of this nature. But I was terminated from my position because some students did not want to come in my class and they had expressed their displeasure to their parents. So having said I think you're right on cue with trying to make the audience stay clear of aligning this movement with Islam in any kind of manner, because it does not have Quranic approval. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to speak, Brother Adam.
All right, thank you, brother. And next time you wake up in the morning and make the unconscious decision to be fired from your job, think about it twice.
Yes, sir.
You could have called me. I said, don't say it. Don't say it. I sound like...
Well, thank you, Mr. Lyon. All
right, let's go back to phone lines. There we go, 219-484.
As-salamu alaykum. Oh, well, thank you, Mr. Lyon. You know, you gave a prime example how information is controlled. You know, how we are subject to influences, or we say we are products of the social and cultural environment, how we are systematically programmed to react according to someone's standards, someone else's standards, and that if we don't step up to what is in accordance or what is in compliance to a system, then we are considered out of place or out of line, and that we are disobedient or troublemakers. You know, a lot of adjectives can be affiliated with our basic conduct of reactions to what we consider is correct and what we reject as incorrect. You know, so it goes a lot of various stages of acceptance, what we accept and what we reject. And it goes way into a standard of either you do what I say do, or you jump ship, you out of line, and you are not considered amongst the good people or the people that are acceptable to the rule. So it's a form of systematic enslavement, where enslavement is orchestrated whether we agree with it or not.
Yes, sir. Yeah, well, it's definitely hidden, and we got to be aware of it. Our awareness has to be raised up to make it ineffectual. And that's why I like your program and others, that we can do that and hope that people are listening. Doc, I appreciate it, man. Thank you very much, sir. As-salamu alaykum, brother.
You're welcome. As-salamu alaykum.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines and... Error code 336-722.
As-salamu alaykum. Wa alaykum as-salam, brother, man, madam.
Yes, sir.
I'm listening to your program this morning, and it reminds me of some things that the Imam Muhammad told us years ago. One thing I think the Muslim community itself is guilty of, Imam Muhammad told us, write your own history, because if you don't, somebody else will. I would believe that the average masjid, that probably Imam Muhammad, have not sat down and recorded their own history of their own masjid. So here's what I want to talk to you about. Not only that, whose responsibility is it to teach us our history? Why should we wait on the broader community to tell us our history? And then again, Black History Month, it used to be when I was coming up, Black History Week. So now they're giving us a month. But if you ask the average black person, how much do they know about black scientists and their contribution to American society? How do you know about black mathematicians, black doctors, black engineers? I wouldn't be scared to say that the average black person cannot name four black mathematicians that have made contributions to American society. So I think what we need to do as a people stop waiting on the broader community to tell us who we are and really begin to tell us who we are ourselves. As-salamu
alaykum. Alaykum as-salam. Thank you very much. Ma'am, I appreciate that. They got a series in our local newspaper, Fayetteville Observer. They're running this month, and it's called the Black History, Black History Newsmakers or something like that. Right, and they're writing about young people, and they are supposed to be the future Black History newsmakers. And they ain't done nothing. And how do they know they're going to be in that stature? And I can imagine that the ones that they're featuring really think they're doing something. And I see it as another case of the people in charge are trying to control the narrative. And this is worse. Anyway, I just wanted to say that. Let's go back to the phone lines. Area code 213-925.
213-925. Assalamu alaikum. Hey, brother. Assalamu alaikum. This is Amin. Claire Muhammad Stim School.com. I ran into a problem like the brother, I think his name was Bajid, but in the classroom when I was talking about the definition, one student asked me what LGBTQ means, and, I told him what I said, the Q means queer, that this is what I was taught means queer. And, from the radio station here, KPFK, which is very, been around a long time, very, what's called progressive or left wing. But the principal, Caucasian lady, took me to task that Q don't mean queer, it means questioning. I told her that's what I learned. That's not the usage that we hear, And you in the classrooms now you have to really watch what you say about homosexuality and same sex and stuff like that, because they have these rules and statutes and policies in place to so-called protect the gay student, and they tie that up with anti-bullying and all that. So you have to, watch it. That's why I always, how could a Muslim be a Democrat? I know me and you talk about this, but how can a Muslim be a Democrat? Because that's the plank, that's the policy, that's the platform of the Democratic Party is same-sex marriage, homosexuality, abortion, I'll leave
let me ask you a question. Republicans have any platform that's against Quran?
That's against Quran?
Yeah.
No. I would say no.
No.
Right, can you name one?
Can you name one? A lot of them.
No question. Name one.
Lying. Stealing. Oh. Taking tax dollars to benefit the corporate world over the rights of the poor person. Right? All of those things. So if you're looking for angels in politics and saints in politics, ain't none. Ain't none at all. And to try to condemn Muslims because they might have made a political choice it might be a local issue that might be a Democratic Party that favors the local issue. But to hang them up and saying they're un-Islamic because they voted for a Democrat somewhere along, and it wasn't their conscious mind to vote for same-sex marriage, but chose to condemn them,
See, yeah, but the difference
don't
is,
get me started on that. I'm dealing with a local issue, brother.
Okay,
I'm dealing with local issues. The people make these absolutisms. They right and everybody's wrong.
Well, okay.
I'm dealing with a brother right now to tell me I'm against the Sooner because I told him I didn't agree with his Sooner. I mean, we get these absolutes and condemn everything.
But here's the difference, though.
No, it ain't different. Same mentality. I said, brother, you're not the Muslim police. You ain't going around telling me who's a Muslim or any Muslim.
Yeah, but Adam.
Well, let's at least give them the respect that they're doing it for a reason. Because there ain't no angels and saints in politics.
I know it, and I very careful about rallying.
You ain't got to be careful.
A lot of us know. But here's what I'm saying.
Just be pensive. Just be thoughtful.
It's the platform.
No. If I vote for a Democratic candidate, I'm not voting for a whole everything in the platform. If I wanted the platform 100%, I wouldn't vote. There ain't nobody straight up there. You got crooks on the Republican side, and you got crooks on the Democratic side. But it's the system we got.
Well, I don't know. I think we as Muslims, following the Imam, the Quran, I think we should start thinking about going our own way then, in our own party. I mean, because
why are you doing that? And rather than take ourselves out of the race totally, why can't we do both? Develop the framework of our own party, if that's possible. But in the meantime, let's support something.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all. You ain't got to shut down and do nothing. Who wants to form a party with somebody that ain't doing nothing?
Yeah.
Study how parties are formed. Study the parties that have been trying to be formed that have done. They're still trying to form the Green Party, the Socialist Party. They got about 3 or 4 parties around here. You understand? They're still trying to form them. We can't even form an economic base for ourselves. We can't even do that. So while we're trying to do that, while that's being tried, in the meantime, let's do something. Okay, my brother, I'm sorry. You get me. You still there, right? He hung up. You got me. I'm sorry. Let's go to the phone lines. Area code 727-408. 727-408. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Praise be to Allah, bro.
Praise be to Allah. Trying to put out some information that I'm getting and sharing it. But this is something here I got to read, though. It's out the book on Islam and American Democracy. And these are things that Imam Muhammad said. I'd rather read this be more better. How does the Bible say this in reference to something that Shaitan feel like he's more superior, more worthy than man is, than the man that Allah created? So he say, we say, also in the Bible say this, seven eyes went out to condemn man, to prove man unworthy of the great station that God assigned to him, to man. And seven eyes went out to prove him. So here we go. So two positions and two forces that are working in man's world. One is working to prove him unfit to be on his own, to be free with his own mind, to develop into a society where responsibility for that society is trusted to many and not one. The other is working so that man is free to have his republic. is democracy. Whatever term we may use to try to give you a picture of what we are talking about, this is in the nature of man, isn't it? It is in the nature of man if he thinks himself superior to them. And because that disposition is taken dictatorship forms. And this, there's also in man the feeling and sensitivity, the disposition that even though they are not equal in knowledge, they are made just like I am, the same possibility for them that I have for myself. Though I am superior to them now, and they are dependent upon me, and they need me like children need their parents, I know they have the same potentials, the same capacity, et cetera, that I have. I want to see them grow up to my level. I want to see these babies become grown-ups. So I'm going to form a democracy, a republic, that will invite all of them to come to the top. And many of them will come in time. You see, that's the disposition that respect the creation of human beings or respect what God made and what God wants for the human being he made. So that maybe I put in the language of the seven eyes that went out to this, to approve in that wonderful station given him by a creator. You know, Brother Adam, it's something I think about a lot. And I go back in my sojourn, you know, with my little history that I had getting to where I am now. That, well, how can you have a religion or a way of life, something new to you, and you don't study it? That's crazy to me. I say, why are people don't study? I said, it's a new life, a new world in them. Why? They should be eating up everything that they can. Why? This would put us in a position of something of a division. So we won't have to be reactionary all the time and somebody do something and then we come out. That ain't a good spirit for us. We're supposed to be way ahead of this thing. We have the knowledge available to us and Allah bless many of us. They out there, they doing that. So praise be to Allah for the volunteer AM360 in another place. That's what I'm going to do. Go ahead, Brother Adam.
Bilal, I got a question for you to hang up. What's the date on that, what you read for me? What's the date on that you read for me, man?
Okay, that's, it was edited in 2021. So, yeah, that's when it was edited.
No. The date that he gave the messages, because he wasn't here in 2021.
Okay.
What date when he's,
Look, I don't have it. I don't have it. But tell me what you want. Tell me about it. But Adam.
No, I don't know. I'm just trying to find out so I can research.
I thought he wanted to. He'll tighten me up a little bit so I could, you know, so I can get stuff.
No.
Oh, wow. No, that ain't it either.
No.
So, yeah. But let me tell you something, Adam. You see what you're saying?
Oh, no.
I get that. Believe me, I get it. I get where you maybe where you about to come to. Yeah. So days might have changed after that time. Or circumstance in the team
no,
during that time.
That's not why I said that, brother. I only asked one question. I want to read the full speech. That's why I wanted to say.
Okay, look, but do
so
that.
If
do
you
that.
Find
do
out.
No, I'm about to do something. Look, get this book on Islam.
Well, I guess if he's on the line, I want to get on. Okay,
bye,
well, thank you, brother. Blah.
Oh, yo, you know what? Do
you
that.
Listen and speak too, brother. I got two people on the line. I'm going to get to them. So thank you very much, brother. All right, let's go back to phone lines. Area code 251-404-251-404. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Adam. It's Henry Hasib in Mobile, Alabama. First, wanted to say that I agree with the brother comment that we need to write our history. Especially the Muslims in our masjids, a lot of time we think it's got to be a big book before we can write our history. But you know, even the church, they are finding out that they write their history. You know, they and they record it for their members. But we as Muslims, we don't write our history, and I would encourage us. I do know here for our for Islam here in Mobile, I do know of a brother who is writing that history there, all the way back to the days of the temple and all that. And I'm familiar that he interviewed a lot of the believers of what we call pioneers back then, and some of them have passed on, but he interviewed a lot of them that was instrumental in the formation of, as we call Muhammad Temple at that time. So I think it's real, real important that we do that, and it ain't got to be anything fancy, but people and new members that come, they need to know the history of how did we get to where we at today. The other thing I wanted to say is on the other subject that we was talking about, LBGT, I don't keep up with that enough to know that. But what I get out of that is that I believe it's time for good people, the good people to come together. It seems like we are the only one divided. People who call themselves good people cannot seem to get together with other good people. Now, that's kind of mind-boggling to me, because here's two people calling themselves good, but they can't get together. It's something wrong with that picture there, but I do believe it's time for us to put down these petty differences that keep us apart and look at a person in the way of whether they're working for what is good or whether they're working for what is evil in the world. And we need to unite with other good people, regardless of those little petty things. You know, religion is one of the biggest things that has divided us in the world. Two people can say the identical same thing, but if they come from two different religious backgrounds, they don't agree with each other. They fight against each other, even though they're saying the same thing. So I think it's time out for that, and let's come together as good people. And Allah will judge those differences when we come before Allah. But that's what I wanted to add to that. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Thank you, Brother Henry. Appreciate that. Okay, let's go back to phone lines. Error code 219-484. 219-484. Assalamu alaikum. You must not know that we're on, so we'll come back to him in a minute and see if he's he or she, I don't know who it is available. All right. Play this PSA, we'll be right
back. The idea of democracy gives every citizen a say in their government. In order for this government to work, people have to turn out. People have to show an interest. People have to vote. This is what we're hearing throughout the nation. And that is really what time it is, family. So I'm saying that to say participatory, meaning what? It's not about us electing leaders. It is not good enough to just show up to the poll, put somebody in office, and don't hold them accountable. Participatory democracy. Let your voice be heard.
Yes, sir. Yes. Hello, everybody. I'm sorry, I had it on mute, and I said some profound stuff there on mute. I know it's just too profound, but I was on mute. But I like that PSA, because what it PSA did, it said participate. Whichever way you're moved to participate, whether you participate as a Republican or participate as a Democrat. I'm going to allow you to participate. No one say we're going to all agree on one way or another. But I think we should stop short of trying to describe or rate how good of a Muslim is because they voted Democrat or because they voted Republican. We may not always agree on which party to participate on or whatever. But we have agreed on to make the first point. La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. We agreed on that. And we participated. I mean, we lived a life based on that. We can agree on that. I mean, just like, can we just at least come together on that without really trying to rate how good of a Muslim is because they voted Libertarian and because they voted Democrat or Republican? See, that's what they want us to do. But let's agree on that one thing, inshallah. All right, got a caller here. I want to go to back to phone line. Area code 910-527-4993. 910-527-4993. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. How you doing this morning, Brother Adam?
I'm doing well, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. I just wanted to commend you for doing an outstanding job. I think a lot of the issues that we deal with in ourselves is around education, so I wanted to commend you for doing such a great job with the 150. In reality, now that we've been in this process for a little bit more than how many years now? 3, 4, 5 years?
No, man, it's going on. This it'll be 7 years in a minute, brother.
Okay, so we need to increase that 100 up to about 300.
7 years
and
weighs about $300,000 so far.
Yes, sir. Well, right. That's what I'm saying. We need to increase that number because, you know, education is the key, should be our number one priority. Imam Muhammad said we should be building schools instead of building masjids and use the schools to pray in. I think that you've done a commendable job, so I just want to encourage you to keep on keeping on, and we're going to do what we have to do to support you, okay?
Alhamdulillah. Thank you very much, my brother. Appreciate that, sir.
Yes,
sir.
Assalamu alaikum.
All right. Alaikum assalam. All right, let's go back to the phone lines. We got about 3 minutes left in the program. We got to get out of the way for you, ma'am. Yusuf Ramadan. And his title today is Managing Your Spirit. I hope I managed the spirit today all right. Try to do better. Let's go to the phone lines. Area code 41258, 41258. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Angela Marie from North Providence, Rhode Island. I'd like to ask you, brother, have you ever seen any civilization from the past that lasted forever? Have you ever seen any civilization when they become immortal and they perish? Is any of them, or any of them still in existence? Well, no civilization lasts forever, and this civilization that we're in now will not last forever. We can try to remake the world, but a new civilization is going to come in. Plant the seeds, that's all you can do. As-salamu alaykum.
And Allah says in the Quran, to travel the earth and see what was the end of those that came before you. That refrain is recited several times. But let me also say, the civilization is not based just on a geographical location. Can a new civilization spring up right here? It can, if Allah sees fit. Didn't Imam Muhammad say remake the world? He didn't say go to another world to remake it right here. So we're supposed to, in my estimation, try to do the best we can to save our souls and our family. Allah says, save your saved in your family from the fire. But we also can't give up. That's why ma'am said you can't stop now. We got to try to make things better. And that could be the reason why Allah raised us up in this country during this time. So we got to do better. I know personally I'm not ready to call it quits. So let's go to work and take care of what we have to take care of ourselves. And let Allah decide when it's time that this earth we're on just rolls up, balls up, folds away. Well, let's go to work. Thank you very much, everybody, for tuning in. This has been Adam B. out here on Money Sense. And we're getting ready to get out of the way for you, ma'am. Yusuf Ramadan, who, as you know, his title is Managing Your Spirit. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
We don't run from challenges. We overcome any obstacle. We don't cower in the face of can't or too difficult. We find a way to make it happen through faith, work, and the power of the group intellect. We don't seek results that are just ordinary because a believer is supposed to be extraordinary. Who are we? We are the volunteers of the CWSC, ready, willing, and able to lend to the Creator a loan that will be added to and multiplied many times over. Think you have what it takes to be a CWSC volunteer? Then register with the NCNRD. Your talent, experience, and knowledge. Want to learn more? Visit CWSC.us. Look for the NCNRD today, and you too can help unleash and harness the power of the group intellect, and together we can remake the world. This has been a public service announcement from Imam Abdul Hakim Abdullah, American Muslim 360 Radio, number one Islamic radio station in the nation. As-salamu alaykum.
American Muslim 360 is proud to present the Thursday morning edition of A New Day for Al-Islam in America Radio with your host, Yusuf Ramadan.
As-salamu alaykum. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. That is peace be unto you. With God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. We'd like to welcome everyone to New Day for Islam in America, American Muslim 360 edition, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. My name is Yusuf Ramadan, and this is the program that deals with current events, trending topics, and issues of concern from the Muslim perspective. And as we always say, the Muslim perspective is and always should be the human perspective. So today, as our beloved brother, Imam Adam, mentioned, we want to talk about managing our spirits, managing your spirit. And, you know, people nowadays, We can't seem to agree on anything, you know. I hear what our brother Henry was calling for, good people to come together, but we can't agree on what's good. The people that you would might not accept as being good, coming together with other good people, would tell you, "Well, I'm good too, and I don't accept you as good." you know, we just can't agree on nothing. We don't agree on anything, you know. And that is the tactic of the shaitan, you know, divide and conquer. Divide and conquer. Of course, there's the red and blue divide. You know, they've even changed the what it means to be red or blue, you know. Now, on a political front, you know, being red, it means you are a Republican, you know. And the Republicans, like Ronald Reagan or Mr. Nixon, you know, they were staunch red baiters. You know, red stood for communism, you know. So they changed those designations, you know, whenever they feel like it, whenever it suits them, you know. And they've given us that real partisan spirit, you know, where we can't get along with each other. You know, Brother Rodney King famously said, can't we all just get along? Well, the answer was a resounding no. No, we cannot. They find something to divide themselves, even within their own family, you know, even our own family members. We're not always going to be able to agree. And I was just discussing with my family a few days ago that Allah says, you know, you will not be able to guide all of those whom you love. You will not be able to guide all of those whom you love. And you know, people, Imam W.D. Muhammad Rahim Allah, he was a great lover. He loved film, cinema. He loved to see movies. And he would talk to us about the movies that he had seen and we had seen and break down their meaning for us, you know. There's people today that still will tell you it's just a movie. It's just a movie. Well, it's a comedy. It's a comedy. And if those producers of that comedy, in other words, you know, they say, oh, you know, calm down. You know, don't be so serious. It's light. It's light. It's nothing but a comedy. And it's just entertainment. And there was a movie that Chris Rock was in where he said, and he was having a discussion in the movie with the young lady that was playing his love interest. And she said, sometimes a movie is just a movie. And Chris Rock said, a movie is never just a movie. Don't you know that they've taken millions and millions of dollars to create this film? You might think they're having fun. But no matter what the subject matter is, they're looking to take home some money. You think they frivolously putting up millions of dollars just because we just want, they laugh. That makes me feel so good just to hear people laugh. Some of our people are so gullible and naive. And they say it's like mind over matter. If you don't have no mind, well, I guess it just don't matter. So we will accept anything under the guise of comedy. Well, it's just comedy. And one of the comedians says it like that, too. He said, it's just, when he says something controversial, he said, it's just comedy. It's just comedy. And that's the spirit, too, you know, the spirit of laughter, just silly laughter. Oh, let your hair down, brother. You know, just laugh a little bit. But we laugh about things that are serious things. That makes you into a fool. When you have the spirit of just laughter, just want to laugh. And the man talked about the development of the child. and how the child is the first scientist, and he or she is really trying to analyze this world. You see how children look at everything? They look at your face. They want to feel it. They're using their five senses. When their eyes can focus and they smell, they want to smell. They want to touch. They want to touch your nose. They want to touch their own face. He says, and then, you know, the baby wants to smile. You smile at the baby smiles back. He said, then people just tickle. And just make the baby laugh. And the baby says, oh, I see. Oh, that's what this is all about. It's just laughter. That's what this thing is about. Just laughing, just for the sake of laughing. And we tell children all of our fables. All of our fables. And one director, famous director, he made a movie that's out now called Fable Man, talking about his childhood coming up. And they give us fables. They want us to tell the truth. Just tell American history. Just tell it the way it is. We don't want no black studies. We don't need black studies. We don't need African-American history. African-American history is American history. Just tell the same history for everybody. But they haven't given us history for everybody. They gave us his story. You want us to still come with Christopher Columbus discovered America? Yes. That's the history that they want us to accept. George Washington chopped down a cherry tree. These are fables. This is nonsense. And whoever governs the mythos, myth, societies are, Imam taught us that societies, you know, come into being with myths. They use myths in order to inspire, to tell a story, to tell the story of ancient Rome, the twin babies, Romulus and Remus, and one of them was, and they were abandoned, and one of them was suckled by a she-wolf. Now you know that's not possible. You know that's not possible. She ate them two babies, right? But they say that the baby came up among the wolves and began to adapt the characteristics of a wolf, howling at the moon and walking on all fours. And we know that that's true. We know that that's what really happens. If a child is not given human conduct to model, it will take on animal behavior, right? And we've been taught that we need what? A balanced emotionality. A balanced emotionality. That Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he was said that he always had a smile on his face. He always had a smile, and he liked to laugh, but he wouldn't laugh so much that you can see the inside of his teeth, you see inside his mouth. And then he always had a pleasant look on his face. This is psychology. This is human psychology. Because if he was reported to have walked around with a scowl, little children would take that away. They would take that lesson away, that the prophet was very dour or sour. So we're still talking about it now, 1,400 years later. His emotionality, his personality. And he advised us. He advised us, don't become angry. That's a spirit too. You may have talked about that spirit of laughter. You remember when we were kids, sometimes we had to be separated. If we were in the classroom or we were at home, and all we had to do was look at each other. We just bust out laughing. Somebody said something silly or somebody said something stupid. And we're in the classroom, and we take that to mean a bodily function or something. And bust out laughing. And then they said, okay, children, now you're taking it too far. I want you all to buckle down and concentrate on your schoolwork. And you look over at your friend, and your friend looks at you, and you're you just bust out laughing. That's a spirit of laughter, a spirit of silliness. And the law said he's the one that grants laughter and tears. Laughter and tears. So there's nothing wrong with laughter. Nothing wrong with humor. We're humor. Humor is part of our makeup. It's part of our personality, you see? But when it's taken to an extreme, or the other extreme, right? The other extreme is what? A sorrow. The man talked about us as a people. Nobody acts out at a funeral like after African American. Nobody. Spirit in church, our singing and dancing, spirituality, for religion, even a religious spirit. We take everything because we weren't given an opportunity during the slave experience. We weren't given an opportunity to live a balanced life. So because they wanted to take us in a certain direction, they took us to Christianity. They gave us their version of Christianity, at least, and approved it for us. So now with this push towards Afrocentrism, black is beautiful. Now they're even trying to say, the man told us that in speaking to James Brown, that James Brown said, that he said to James Brown, I want to thank you for that song, very inspiring song. Say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud. He said that James Brown responded to him and said, what are you talking about? I got that from your father. Now they're coming out because they want to rewrite history. They say that the Black Panthers threatened James Brown and forced him to make that song. Isn't that something? So they want to redefine everything. They want to redefine everything. Now they're angry at Aretha Franklin because she wrote the song, You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman, which is a beautiful song. It's a beautiful song. And the transgender people are arguing with her, saying there ain't no such thing as a natural woman. Wow. So it's really not transgenderism. They're really advocating transhumanism. Transhumanism. Huh? They're trying to transfer or change the definition of what it means to be human if you allow them to do so, you know? So I wouldn't agree they make boogeymen for us. They give you Saddam Hussein. They give you Vladimir Putin. They give you Muammar Gaddafi. They give you different boogeymen. Those of you who are a little bit older, Khrushchev, he said, I will bury you. These are our enemies. Now, they give us all these different boogeymen. Donald Trump, they made him a boogeyman. I'm not saying some of these people shouldn't be watched, but they turn them into the boogeyman that's responsible for all of the wrong, all of the evil that's in the world. And when they're heroes, those that they support, commit the same crime, they tell you it's like apples and oranges. Don't try to compare the two. This person, he committed this crime? Yes. And so did he? Yes. But he had bad intentions, and his motives were pure. And they tell you how to think, you see? They have these think tanks. And they were, I was just reading the report by the RAND Corporation. The think tanks, they call them nonprofits or whatever, their purpose is to teach you how and what to think. They teach you what to think. Now they're floating, after they've spent all this money, gave all these billions of dollars and weapons to promote the war with Russia and Ukraine, now they're giving a little like it's not coming from them. They call it a trial balloon. Well, we need to bring this war to a close, because if the war is protracted, that's how it's going to hurt us. So they're putting it out there, even at the same time that they're talking about sending more weapons and tanks, etc. So they gin up your spirit. Now look at the word that I use, gin. Gin. The gin is a spirit too. See, we blessed to have been educated and taught and trained, Imam W.D. Muhammad, to look at scripture in an adult way, in a mature way, not to see the jinn as anything other than the aspect of the human nature. And those people that think the jinn are the creatures, they will agree with you. That Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said that the jinn circulates in the human being like the blood. They won't disagree with that. And that Aisha, radiallahu anha, that she said to him, even you? And he said, even me. But mine became a Muslim. So he got it to submit. So he said, even him, the jinn. So you're looking for a creature out running around out in the forest somewhere. And they will begin, you're talking about us coming together. Muslims can't come together with you. You're talking about all the good people coming together. Other people that call themselves Muslims can't come together with you. Why? Because you don't believe in phantasmagorical stories that the angel came down and cut Prophet Muhammad's chest open. Oh, can we come together on La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah? I don't know. It sounds like we can come together on that, but what does that mean? They believe that the angel cut his chest open, washed his heart, literally washed his heart to clean it, to purify it, and then sewed him back up. So you can do that to the child molester. You can do that to the rapist. Get the doctor to cut their chest open and get a wash rag and some soap and water and wash it and then close them back up and he'd be straight. That's something for us to ponder, something for us to think about. So you listen to New Day for Islam in America, American Muslim 360 edition, number one Islamic radio station in the nation. So we have some important announcements that we want to bring to you. So please don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM360. Join your host, Manira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Dabrita Hadi, Director of the MCNRD Model Community National Resource Directory, reminding volunteers of our upcoming MCNRD Social Connect Conference every last Sunday of the month, 1 o'clock p.m. to 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We look forward to your participation. so please check your email for conference call information. Thank you so kindly. Assalamu alaikum.
And we're back. So we have a little discussion on managing your spirit, you know. And Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is reported to have said, don't become angry. That's a big one. That's a big one. That's a challenge for many of us. For many of us, don't become angry. Because it's not to say that there's not things that won't make you angry. But don't give yourself into the spirit of anger. Huh? Some people give themselves into the spirit of anger, you know. And people have become very popular and wealthy, promoting this spirit or negative spirits, you know. Before we had the internet. Before we had social media, before we had YouTube, you know, we used to have radio, shock jock radio, you know. And radio is still important. People try to tell you radio, you know, is of the past. Radio is not important anymore. Well, we know that that's not true. We're on the radio now, right? Yeah, we know that's not true. You know, but they want to try to get you to think that, well, radio is, you know, that's passe technology. No. People can listen to you on internet radio all over, all around the world. You know, Brother William Kareem and myself, we used to broadcast on WPAT, what they call terrestrial radio or traditional radio. And we had a pretty wide coverage, area of coverage from northern New Jersey and all of the five boroughs of New York City, as well as some parts of southern Connecticut. So we had quite a wide area. But we couldn't reach Chicago like we're able to do now. We couldn't reach California. The signal wasn't powerful enough, you know. So, yes, you know, I've been involved in anger management courses. I've taken them. I've taught anger management courses myself within the prisons, you know. A lot of people are in prison right now because they couldn't control their temperament. Anger is that's an aspect of the jinn nature also, right? Because the jinn is fire, free from smoke. And fire is not a bad thing always. Allah has made these forces, put these forces under our control. So if you are cognizant of the proper technology, you can use the fire to heat your home, to cook your food. Huh? Yes. So that jinn nature can be harnessed. It can be harnessed for good. Allah has put all these things at the disposal of his man, meaning mankind, his man and woman. He put them at our disposal, and they become your servants if you handle them properly. Now, if you don't handle the fire, if you don't manage the fire, if you cook with too high a fire, or you don't manage your cooking experience right, you can cause a fire and burn up the kitchen, burn up the whole house, including the people in it, if you're not careful. So you have to, you know, watch your fire, watch your food. The Prophet has told us, don't go to sleep with a fire burning in your house. You have to be very careful. So I see some hands going up, and I'm going to bring you in to ask a question or make a comment, and 251-404. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Alan Stokes.
Yeah.
The attitude, just like you and I talking all the time, very respectful. Dr. Gordon said that. And then some people say, well, I spoke to Alan, probably he wouldn't even speak. Mm-hmm. Alan Stokes.
Yeah.
So they have a different attitude with different people.
Yeah.
See, again, what Dr. Gordon here, his attitude is different. Dr. Gordon is here. But
this must have been a sound like you're already in a discussion. Okay. This is 111. All right. State your name, where you're calling from, please. Assalamu alaikum. All right. Going once, going twice. No one there either. All right. You can press one on your phone if you wish to ask a question or make a comment. We're talking about having a balanced emotionality. And Allah tells us, Ya ayyuha allatheena aamanu, alaykum anfusikum. All you who believe, your own selves obligate you. Your own selves obligate you. So we're not to give ourselves to inordinate grief. You know, they told us that we're blues people. We're blues people. Well, people tried to give us the blues, but you don't want to wallow in the blues. You don't want to wallow in the blues. Good morning, heartache. Here we go again. You know, you can put on the blues and turn down the lights and make yourself depressed. Yes, you can make yourself depressed. But your own selves obligate you. So if you're going to do that, and we used to hear that, you know, I used to hear the brothers say, in somewhat a humorous vein, what they were talking about how bad things were, you know. I've been down so long, yet nothing even crossed my mind. I'm sure you heard those expressions in our community. I'm down so low, I'm playing handball on the curb. These are the type of expressions that we use, you know. You have to use a psychology on yourself. A brother was a friend of mine that's passed away, and may Allah forgive his sins, grant him paradise. He was a great salesman, and he used to do what they call cold calls. So he picked me up one time from the train station. I came to visit him in Philadelphia, and he said, "Well, yeah, I'm going to work. I'm gonna show you what type of work I do." He was doing these cold calls, and it was a rainy day. It wasn't a nice day, and so when we got inside, he said to me, "It's a beautiful day today, isn't it? Beautiful day." And I'm looking at him, and he said, "You know, I say it's a beautiful day because I have to set my mind. I got to get my mind set right. If I give in to the forces around me, then, you know, the way I'm going to talk to people, I'm going to be depressed too. And a depressed salesman is not going to make any sales at all." Let's try this number again. State your name, where you're calling from. Is anyone there? Okay. I don't know who keeps pressing that on their phone, but we're trying to get you in a little earlier today. So, you know, the world teaches you about anger. Oh, it's very destructive. Don't hold it in. Don't hold it in. Get it off your chest. Tell people how you feel. It's better to get it out. Get it out. Well, it is good to get it out, but that don't mean you have to get it out in an angry way or cussing people out, huh? Or challenging people to a fight, right? Yeah, there's different ways to get it out, but that's what this world teaches you. And, you know, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, may Allah forgive him his sins and grant him paradise, he said, think 10 times before you speak, and then you might be right. 10 times before you speak, and you might be right. But some of us just, we love to what they call shoot off our mouths, right? Oh, man, we shoot what they call shoot from the hip. Oh, I didn't mean to say that. I didn't mean to say that. I didn't mean that, brother. I shouldn't have said that. I didn't mean it like that. And we even do that with our spouse, right? With our wives, with our husbands, you know. And, you know, the sisters will say, you know, you can't take me serious. I'm just talking. No, we can't do that, because sometimes we can hurt people with our mouths even more than if we had raised our hands to them. You can hurt a person, you know, with your tongue, you know, and especially our sisters, we really don't fare too well in arguments with them. We don't fare too well, you know. And I was listening, the sister was saying, you know, oh, when I'm arguing with my husband, I say the thing that I know is going to hurt him the most. That's not good. That's not good. Don't do that. Don't take advantage of the man because you're intimate with him and you know him like other people don't, and vice versa. You know, during the nikah, Imam Qasim Bakrideen, Rahimahullah, my predecessor, he used to say, if you can just accept the fact that the one who's best among you is the one who's kindest to his wife, be kind to your wife. And I advise brothers that. Say, oh, man, they told me I'm doing too much for my wife. Well, who are they to tell you how you should treat your wife? You can't tell me how to treat my wife. If I want to spend money, if I want to do this for my wife, what business is it of yours? You treat your wife the way you want to. Let me treat my wife the way I want to. I might think she deserves it. If you don't think your wife deserves that treatment, hey, that's between y'all. You know, because the new thing is, he's a simp. He's a simp. I guess that's short for simpleton. He's being so nice to his wife. She's using you, brother. She ain't doing nothing but using you. And it says, and he also taught, you know, and we didn't make that up. That's from their ceremony, right? To love, honor, and obey. And that word rankles the sister. Obey? You ain't my father. Why would I obey him? He ain't my father. But they don't mean that either. Because if their father was to tell them something, they would tell their father, I'm grown. So you just using that, right? In other words, you're not going to obey nobody. You're going to follow your own mind. And that spirit is in the sisters, our sisters, not just our sisters, but too much. And I've heard them say, I do whatever the blank I want to do. That's the spirit. I'm a grown woman. I do whatever the blank I want to do. And they emphasize it like that. And I tell them, that's not humanly possible. That's not possible for any human being to do whatever the blank they want to do. You're human. You don't have that power and ability to do whatever you want to do. But they have that spirit to be able to want to do that. Dress the way they want to dance in public, do whatever they want to do. They grow, and they feel like they have a right to be able to do that. That's the wrong spirit. That's the wrong spirit. And the brothers, too, have a spirit that you see in the so-called hood. We need to put the neighbor back in the hood. Back in the hood, that's what the imam told us. He took the neighbor out of the hood. This is my hood. So it's only known for crime and violence, etc. And you bragging about which neighborhood has more criminal activity going on. They love it. So that spirit, that we're not managing that spirit. We have to learn to manage our, have a balanced emotionality. So we're going to take another pause for the cause, okay? We're going to take another pause for the cause. And so don't touch that dial. We'll be back right back in a while.
The peace be on you. Assalamu alaikum. My name is Omar Shakir, and I'm resident imam of Masjid Bilal Ibn Rabah in San Antonio, Texas. And I would like to invite you every first Sunday from 12 to 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time to join us for our class where we're dealing with the subject matter of the basics in Islam. We are excited about this program, even if we're new Muslims or Muslims have been in the faith for many, many years. It is a wonderful opportunity to learn and understand this beautiful way of life. We also connected with various insights from the tafsir of Imam Waliduddin Muhammad radiallahu anhu, and we all explained its practical application. We look forward to being with you on every first Sunday of the month, where we would deal with the basics of Islam. The peace be on you. Assalamu alaikum.
Family, community, city, state, country, and more. Everything starts with you, the individual, you. What is the character of you? Are you a book? Can you be read? Join us every Friday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for a wonderful hour of information being shared by you, with you, for you, the you in all of us. I am Martha Naila Abdullah, and I am your host for Community Developmental Stages. Again, every Friday evening from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m., be there.
Assalamu alaikum. Join us each and every Sunday from 5 to 7 Eastern Standard Time and 4 to 6 Central Standard Time for the broadcast of the contemplations of Imam Waliduddin Muhammad, sharing his insights, his wisdom, and his knowledge here on America Muslim 360, utilizing the books edited by Brother Morocco, Brother Ghani, and Brother Ronald B. Shaheed. So we look forward to your presence as we share the insight, the logic, and the thinking of our beloved Imam Waliduddin Muhammad here on America Muslim 360 on a myriad of subject matter. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah, we're back. So we are talking about maintaining a balanced emotionality. Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, is reported to have said that we are the Ummatul Wusta, the midway community, not going too far to the right or too far to the left, you know. But we take the middle course, you know. So we don't want to be extremists. Extremism is never from Allah. It's always from Shaitan. So we have the extremists in the political realm. We have extremists in the religious realm. We have extremists in the economic field, economic realm, you know. Even though we were taught, you know, don't put all your eggs in one basket. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. And that's the same thing that they say to us, right? Diversify your portfolio. So they're angry with us because we want to make life for ourselves as comfortable as possible while we're still working to remake the world. They want you to walk around with sackcloth and ashes while you're remaking the world. Oh, you're participating in this economic system. Why would you participate in it? What are you going to do? You have to live. You have to survive. You have to eat. You have to take care of food, shelter, and clothing. So what are you going to do? Pitch a tent? You're going to live in a tent? No one is asking you to get engaged in some haram economic way of life. But if it's halal, what would stop you from engaging in it? You're still black, brother. Huh? You're still black. That's not going to stop you from being black. You're still going to be subjected to the racism, etc. So you shouldn't go to school. You shouldn't get an education. Yeah, you're a doctor, brother, but you're Dr. N-word. Your spirit of hopelessness. And no one bears of the mercy of Allah except who has become an oppressor. An oppressor, oppressing first and foremost their own selves, their own spirit.
So if anyone would like to add to the discussion, ask a question or make a comment, press one on your phone. I don't know how we had those other people pressing one on their phone. It didn't appear to want to ask a question or make a comment. But if you find this subject matter engaging for you, press one on your phone. We'll bring you into the queue. If not, we will continue. All right. So okay, we have 914-365. State your name and where you're calling from, please. Seems like I'm able to bring him in. Can you call back? All right. 321-917.
917. I didn't know I hit one. Listening to your program. Wonderful program. Didn't have any comments.
Did you have anything
you
want
to add? No, I didn't. I didn't know I had
hit one. Okay, no, all right, that's fine. Alhamdulillah, thank you for listening.
Yes, sir.
All right, anyone else? Just press one on your phone. We'll bring you in to ask a question. Make a call. Okay, here's 914 again. Let's see if this is working. All right, state your name, please, and where you calling from. I don't know why that's not working. Okay, let's try 636-980.
Assalamu alaikum. Yes, wa alaikum assalam. This is Kareem Hamid calling in from St. Louis, Missouri. And
yes, sir.
Yes, the imam gave a wonderful address on the subject matter that you're addressing today, our spiritual matters. And he especially said, I'm not speaking about religion per se. When we hear spiritual, sometimes our mind go to religion. He right. said, but there is a spirit among the African American to just have a good time, always have a good time. He said, you laugh too much. Stop laughing and get serious. So there is a spirit among us. I have witnessed it, and a very important subject matter can be presented. And it'll be taken lightly. It'll be taken lightly. And they'll say, well, let's move on to another matter. Imam mentioned how he'll try to speak with people concerning rational truth, rational logic. And they would even avoid his conversation with them. They would begin to act foolish as if they are incapable of having a rational, serious thought. So as a people, as we play too much, we don't take things as serious as they are. We laugh and play all the time too much. But we have some very serious issues that we need to address. So we need a balanced, praise be to God, we need a balanced spirit, a balanced spirit. We don't right. want to be just dry and hard nor silly. We want to take the midway course, But there are some important issues that we must address, and laughing and acting silly leaves those things still sitting there undone. Thank you, Imam Yusuf. May we manage our spirit much better than we have. Thank you, my brother. As-salamu alaykum.
Well, thank you. Well, alaykum as-salam. You know, you reminded me, Imam, when you said that, I was at a Imam's meeting. It was a small meeting in Chicago, and the Imam was talking. And the brother, he's a good brother. He's no longer with us, one of the Imams. And he was making a joke. You know, he said, oh, man, I'm drunk. I'm drunk. I'm getting drunk with what the Imam is teaching. So the Imam said, drunk? What I'm giving you should sober you up. I'm giving you something to sober you up. Oh, he said, oh, I was just playing. I'm joking, Imam. So the Imam said, am I a clown to you? Is that how you see me, as a clown? So, you know, the Imam would go in on you when you mess up. And the Imam would say, hey, you can leave here. You take this as a joke, you can leave. You know, he apologized profusely. But, you know, sometimes we take things with the wrong spirit. You know, the Imam was giving us some, he would say, oh, that's heavy, that's so heavy. It's so heavy what you get, it's making me drunk. The Imam said, no, I'm not giving you nothing to make you inebriated. I'm giving you something to sober you up. So that's how
Yes, Imam, you know, sometimes we laugh to keep from crying.
That's true.
To mask deficiencies in our life. Sometimes we laugh to cover the uncomfortableness of facing major issues. Imam said we are a very playful race of people. He said he met with the Congressional Black Caucus. And as the meeting was closing, planning what social event that they had planned for the evening, how they were going to party, and that disappointed him greatly, you know. So I hope we manage our spirit better, laugh, but. Keep it, you know, keep it balanced. There are some, everything isn't funny, you know.
Right.
Everything isn't funny. So I'll stop right there, my brother. Thank you, Imam Yusuf Ramadan. Very important issue you're bringing up, managing our spirit. Thank you, my brother.
Alhamdulillah. You know, I saw one of the comedians that I usually like sometime, you know, D.L. Hughley, and he was saying, nothing is off limits. Nothing is off limits for comedians. We can say it, but that's not true. Because there are certain people that he won't make jokes about. I guarantee you he will not make jokes about those people. Because he know that there's going to be consequences. So they'll tell you, oh, no, is nothing sacred? There was a long time ago. This was maybe 30 years or more. Maybe more than that. I remember them, the comedians asked a question, is nothing sacred? And they were saying, but they were saying, nothing is sacred. Nothing is sacred. So you'll see people hide under the guise of comedy, you know, those who don't believe, who pretend to be believers, but they're not. And I saw on the show that I see through their their game, their tricks, their technology. So it was Larry David, and he says that he's Jewish, right? But he's really an atheist, you know. And so they had a picture in the bathroom of what they say is Jesus Christ, you know, looking like a swarthy white man with long stringy hair, et cetera, their version. So he urinated in there, and some of his urine popped up and went on the picture to show, because, you know, some people come and say, oh, we saw the Virgin Mary, she was crying, or this, that, and the other. Or we looked at a donut, and it looked like the Virgin Mary, blah, blah, blah. So the people came in the bathroom and said, Oh, the pitcher is crying. Now, he knew that it was his urine. You see how diabolical they can be? And they said, oh, my God, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. And they start telling everybody about it, right? And then he had another scenario where he had a Latino landscaper or gardener. And, you know, among them, they use that name, Jesus. And, but they were calling him Jesus. And he said, well, should his name be Jesus? And he was carrying a big cross and chasing him, a big piece of wood that looked like a cross. So I see the, my brother had his hand again, something he wanted to, is it something you wanted to add, Brother Man?
Yes, sir. Yesterday was February the 1st. President Truman designated that day as National Freedom Day. And everyone was encouraged to recognize that date. There was a lot of subject matter discussed about how great National Freedom Day was and how we should embrace our freedom. I couldn't help it. I mentioned that true freedom is when you are able to supply your own necessary needs and you're not dependent on others to supply your needs. And that the African American, we only represent 2% of the business life in this rich country. Kim Weston was on, the national recording artist, and she responded, said, yes, we need to become more productive. And we went to a commercial break. Commercial and PSA break. And after leaving that break, we didn't return back to that subject. We went on with other, with other subject matter. There was an avoidance of addressing.
Brother, ma'am, Brother, ma'am, we got another caller. Let me just bring them in real quick. We only have a couple minutes left. Hold, stay on the line. 727-408. State your name and where you're calling from, please.
This is Bilal from New Orleans, Louisiana. There's something I wrote about National Freedom Day I'd like to share. I'm Bilal. National Freedom Day, originally proposed as a national holiday by Major Richard R. Wright, senior former slave. He lobbied Congress to designate this day. Freedom of all America will be celebrated. President Harriet Truman signed into law 1948, February 1, honoring the signed by President Abraham Lincoln, a joint House and Senate resolution. Sounds like mutual consultation for us, a part of the logical conclusion. February the 1st, celebrate freedom from slavery, recognize that America is a symbol of liberty. How to observe National Freedom Day. Do good deeds. This will increase our faith. Attend a National Freedom Day ceremony. Teach our children about generational wealth and how to invest their money. Read about or watch a documentary about the 13th Amendment. Help clean up our environment during the fight against corruption and sin. Let peace and common sense become our friends. It is the creation of the individual that requisition the life of society. Once the group begins to grow, the plan is bigger. We have to fulfill that capacity. It becomes the people's responsibility. No one human being, no one leader can do it. Interfaith is indeed a benefit. It's a group project. Excuse me, it's a group project. Guidance from our best. This is how we progress.
Right, Bilal. Gotta go, Bilal.
I'm gone. I'm gone. I'm in the line.
We out of time. Thank you. All right, Brother Man, did something you want to say? You want to finish up your thought?
Yes, sir. You are not free when you are dependent upon others to meet your needs. I'll stop right there, my brother.
Allahu Akbar. Thank you very much, Brother Imam. Thank you all for, who listened in and called in. You listen to New Day Fala Islam in America, American Muslim 360 edition. The number one Islamic radio station in the nation. My name is Yusuf Ramadan. It's been my pleasure to spend this hour with you. We pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you have a Juma Mubarak, a blessed Juma, that you continue to keep yourself and your family safe with all the different maladies that's going around. And be intelligent. Have an intelligent and a balanced emotionality. Wherever we are lacking, we pray to Allah that he will forgive us. So until next time, assalamu alaikum.